This is a text about real people with real problems looking for real answers. The thing that sticks with us here is the term in the Greek, the eikona pragmaton, the image of reality, the images of reality. And I think of these real problems as case studies. I was interviewing a professor of evangelism, and I asked him, could you give us a case here in this dialogue about where you found something really helpful happening in the seminary where you teach? Oh yes, one comes to me, he said, in my evangelism class, I had an assignment for the students that they were supposed to make a call on somebody and write up the case study and hand it in. It was the autumn quarter. This one student put it off until toward the end of the quarter, and it was cold already, and he was raking leaves next to the church, and he sees this fellow from the street come with his long coat on, coming out of the cold into the church. And so the seminarian drops his rake, and he thinks, well, there's somebody friendly toward the church. I'll go and witness to that stranger. And the stranger follows down to the front of the church, and he starts telling him, you know, we're glad to see that you came here. This is a church that tells people about the love of God that Jesus showed us. Would you like me to tell you about it? Guy nodded. So he tells him, you know, Jesus died for us, and we try to tell people about that here. And he's telling this fellow about it and gives his witness, and the fellow reaches into his coat and pulls out a gun. And takes it by the handle and hands it to the seminarian and says, here, I came here to take my life. You've given me reason to live. You've saved my life. Now I want to pick up this case study and follow up on it. I don't know what happened after that there in Kansas, but I know a case just like it when I was a seminarian. And I was on vicarage, and I'd add in senior confirmation class. And Ed wanted to be a Lutheran minister. And then I went back to the seminary, and later Ed grew up, and he went into the army. And one time I got a telephone call from his mother saying, look, Ed's home on furlough from Germany. He'd like to come and talk to you. Maybe he'd like to go hunting with you. So it was about a 100-mile drive, and he came out to the country town where I was a pastor, and the office was in the parsonage, and the family came in, and the wife and the rest of the family went and, that is, the mother of Ed went and talked to my wife in the living room, and Ed came in the study to talk to me. And he tells me about the army. He said, no, it's going quite rough for me. I got a hold of some bad whiskey, had to have most of my stomach cut away. He says, it's tough being 23 years old and having most of your stomach cut away. He says, I got in a fight with an officer and I kicked him. And he said, in a conversation, he goes on, you know, we won't have any time to go hunting or anything like that, but I have a little time to talk with him. And he says, you know, I'd like to get a hold of a 38. I'd like to train. I know you got a 38, he said. I'd like to train my Beretta for it. Well, I had this 38 when my own life was threatened by a drug syndicate when I was in the seminary and testified against them in court. And they got word to me they were going to knock me off, and the police hauled me back and forth. And when I draw the lines at night, this seminarian had sold me this 38. His brother was a policeman, and that got me through the nights until they put these fellows away. And I didn't really need that thing jumped so when you'd shoot it and was so loud, and my wife didn't like to shoot it, and Beretta would be better. Yeah, I'd be glad to trade. So we traded. That's what the word means here. The pragmaton are the hard things, like gun barrels. And so we traded. And by this time, Ed's family was ready to go home, and he's going out the door, and his mother says, you know, Ed's been despondent. Well, I didn't have much chance to follow that up. I'd been enough encouragement to get him through what the seminarian got this other fellow in Kansas through. Encouragement for a month or 6 weeks when I got another phone call. His mother was crying. Can you preach his funeral sermon? He took his life. Later, I got the newspaper account. Now, you see, you have to have follow-up on people like Ed or the people that was in the case, the person in the case study. You have to keep bringing that, as it said in the hymn, that friendly Jesus and his love to them. And I'd like to pick this fellow up now. Let's call him Ed. And we've gotten him through this stage of his life, and I could use this text as a Bible study for him. You see here, you say you have real needs. So did Jesus. He took on a body, it says here. And you had a lot of your stomach cut away, and he had nails put through his hands and a sword pierced in his side. And he died for us, Ed. I have a good number of case studies where this is what I've said to people who were stopped from taking their lives. And that was enough. They go down the escalator to hell. Self-doubts, problems about their performance, physical illness. Their wives leave them or their husbands leave them. Problems with their children, problems with their parents. And then finally, even God is angry at us. Ed, Jesus took on a body and he took away this anger of God. And furthermore, in the Lord's Supper, and now we go on for this month and 6 weeks, we follow up Ed, or the fellow who comes to Jesus in the church. You have real problems, Ed. There's a real answer here. That's what's in the Lord's Supper. We say, take, eat. This is the real body. Take, drink. This is the true, the real blood of Christ, given for you for the forgiveness of sins, Ed. So come to Christ in faith in his celebration banquet to be strengthened so you can go on getting back on target. You wanted to do the will of God when you were young. You've gotten away from that goal of the good things that you foresaw in serving Christ. Come to his banquet for his real body and blood. It will forgive you and renew you and get you back toward your goal. Come to be cleansed. It says here, talks here about the cleansing. You know, in baptism, all of our sins are washed away. Faith is strong. You need that, Ed. You need to think about that meaning of baptism. That all of your guilt is washed away. So you've been in a fight, and so you have surgery, and you have problems with your health, and problems with your guilt, that you're off target or goal in your life. That can all be taken away. Come to be cleansed. Come clean. You've come clean about your problems. There's a real cleansing here when Christ gives himself once and for all. When his Holy Spirit strengthens us in the commitment, faith, to do his will. And Ed, come together. Now you've been in some rough company where you got that bad whiskey and got in that fight. Come together. It says here later in this chapter, we shouldn't forsake assembling yourselves together. Ed, you know, that's where we have to come together in the follow-up, all of us who get off target from doing the will of God. We come together and assemble ourselves together, and we hear the word of God and the meaning of this, what we're studying here, Ed. Our sins are forgiven. That's the word. We confess each coming together in worship. And our sins are forgiven, and we're strengthened, and we don't get so far off target then. And we regularly get back on the target toward our goal, not the target of our head. Vickers called up about a week ago telling about the secretary that called him in his office, and her father was on the phone. She said he's going to take his own life. Vickers called the 911 number. Police got there too late. They heard their shot, and his brains were blown against the wall. Our target is to do the will of God, and the will of God is not that we atone for our own sins, as Arthur Miller said about Marilyn Monroe. We don't have to. Christ died for you, Ed. And we come together and we study this word and what it means for us in our lives. And finally, you know, he cleansed us, he sanctified us once forever, that we can be there with the holy ones, that our end is not destruction or self-atonement or self-salvation, but to accept that promise which Jesus has given us when he died for us. We are restless here, it says later in this book. We have no continuing city. Maybe we move around a lot to Europe as soldiers or wherever. But there remains a rest for the people of God. Now, I've counseled ministers for over 3 decades, and they too become discouraged. And they had goals and targets for their ministry, and they've gotten away from it, or at least they've become discouraged. And I've always found this therapeutic, helpful, cleansing, healing, renewing, to talk about our targets, our goals of doing the will of God. And then I talk about how far have we gotten away from that target, that goal. And we repeat the words of this text today. We come to do your will, Lord God. Help us to get back toward that goal. And when that happens, there's a healing and a renewing. So whenever you're discouraged, you think you're becoming negative and away from the target or the goal, remember this text and those words of Jesus. Maybe you won't remember the man in Kansas or the boy in Illinois or where you heard it. But know that this is the reality and the truth that these people were searching for, and that you have the answer, the real answer, for those who ring our 911 numbers. Amen.